Good morning. It is good to see some, we missed you during the summertime and you came back now. So it is good to see you again. And then also, it's a bit sad to see some of our youth, they went to college. Remember them in your prayer. And, keep encouraging them so that they can, no matter where they are, they can trust the Lord. This morning, I'm going to share a message with you, which I shared last week with the Chinese congregation. Love one another is the topic. Love one another. If Richard can help us to have John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35. Let's read the verse together. Still, I encourage you to use your own Bible if possible, because if we don't use it after a while, we don't even remember we have a Bible. Okay, so let's read this together. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Thank you. You see, this is not a new thing for any of us. Love one another is easy to say, and it is very hard to achieve. It's not that easy to really love one another. So this morning, I would like to, go through the Word of God and help us to think about it. Is Jesus Christ saying something that is not, that may not be happening? Is Jesus Christ showing us a road, a way to love one another with God's love, with true love? I think what Jesus says here is true. The only thing is we have a problem with ourselves, with understanding the Word of God. So, when I say love one another is not a new topic, it's not a new thing for any of us. But why so often we found out it's so difficult to love one another? Why is it so difficult? Why so many couples, they got married and then they are reaching a point like breaking, like considering even divorce? I mean, a lot of them are Christian. Why these things happening? Everybody know that love one another is something that we need to do. And yet, we found us far, far away. We cannot reach that. We cannot achieve that. What's the problem? What's the problem? You know, once you see something, you know something, and you want to get there, and you couldn't find a way. How do you find it? How do you feel about it? You know, when we were in Africa, in the Sahara Desert. After we were there for a few years, there was a team, six of them came from Europe. The team leader, he was 23 years old, very young, but very energetic. And then he was the team leader for the frontier mission, the team, to reach out to the Tubu, the Muslim, in the Sahara Desert. But in the Sahara Desert, you have two ways to go around. One is by camel, and the other is by a good car with four-wheel drive. So, of course, you can walk, but I won't advise that. You know, so when he came, he visited a few people and tried to go to some villages, and he decided to buy a good car. It's a Toyota. Land Cruiser is called King of the Desert in that area. But he said, I don't have fund to buy the car. So he bought a, second choice car. It's like a 4Runner, Toyota 4Runner. Have you seen those on the road? But he wasn't buying Toyota 4Runner. He bought Toyota Hilux, similar to Toyota 4Runners. Four-wheel drive. And then when he purchased the car, he asked me, he said, Pastor Wong, can you help? I never drive in the desert. Can you help me? Because if you really visit the Sahara Desert, you you know, when you see the desert, you will say, wow, there is no way to drive in the desert. How can we drive? I mean, those loose sand can be very loose. And then easily when you park your car will sink down easily in many places. And there is there, you know, a lot of challenges. So, but because I was there for a couple of years and he went to the villages with me in my car, and then he thought, well, you know, I better get used to driving the desert. So I say, well, what is your plan? He said, can we try a village? The village called Kilakina. You know, when you drive on the highway, I mean, no, not really highway. I mean, when we say highway, that means no traffic light. Of course, over 1,000 miles, no traffic light in the desert. So, yeah, when we drive on the highway, we see a village like 500 yards from the highway. The village called Kilakina is high on the sand dune. Then you will see in between 500 yards, you will see the sand dune just like waves. You know, maybe like during the hurricane kind of waves. It's not small waves, you know, big one. So he say, can we go there? I say, yeah, we can try. Well, of course, before that, he went with me to the village to show Jesus' video. So he knew that I can get there. So he say, let him try and we'll try and see. You know what happened? After 30 minutes, he was still halfway. So 500 yards. He can see the village. But he tried and tried, he couldn't reach there. I can see his emotion just, you know, just feeling like, am I wrong, you know, purchased the wrong car? Or what happened? I was sitting beside him. If you know me well enough, I just keep my mouth shut and see what happened. And he was so frustrated. And then the brand new Toyota, when the white smoke came out at the back, he stopped his car. He said, Pastor Wong, what happened? Did I purchase the wrong car? I said, no, perfect. This car is perfect. But he said, I couldn't get there. I said, come, you know, stop your car and I'll explain to you how to drive your car in the desert. And after maybe 10 minutes, we arrived at Kilakina, the village. And he was so happy. And then he got the idea how to drive the car in the desert, and no matter where he went, basically he came back safely. Okay? Don't tend to ask me what did I say to him? You know, the point is, there is a way. The point is, there is a way. Okay? When Jesus said, a new command I give you, and he asked us to love one another, a lot of people try saying that it's not working. Even I want to obey God's command. It's not working. Just look at my family. Look at my wife. Look at my husband. It's not working. I mean, if we are not Christian, well, I understand. Probably that's difficult because you have reason to say that. But if we are Christian, do we believe that in the Bible there is a way? So let me share with you. You know, when I study these verses and think about this topic, I have a question coming up. Because I heard somewhere saying that there is a phrase called love chemistry. So I dig up on my website. I look around, I just type in love chemistry and then show up a lot. You know, some are really chemistry. Some are just, you know, kind of explain what is that or just different people have different point of view. The love chemistry is very interesting. I found one article in National Geographic. That's called Love Chemistry. This is humanly speaking, okay? We don't talk about Christian or any other faith. Just saying that humanly speaking, what happened when two people start loving each other? What happened? Humanly speaking, okay? We don't talk about spiritual thing now. I'll come to that later on. Humanly speaking, when a young man and a young girl, they start dating and love each other. The hormone in our body just keep coming up, raising and raising and raising, until a point we can't see anything. This is love chemistry, the first day. Until we can't see anything. So I do hear a phrase like this called blind love. Have you heard about it? You may understand differently, but I don't think it's a new term. Blind love. When two persons love each other, the third person, no matter what you say, it doesn't work. The mom will say, "Hey, consider, slow down, slow down. Do you see, you know, his character or personality? Mom, none of your business. We don't see. We can't see." And then until a day that they got married, and then slowly, when they got married, according to this article, the love chemistry changed. And the hormone in some way dropped down day after day, until you and the other side can see each other very clearly. So when you see, wow, I didn't realize that he is not a perfect person. I didn't realize that she has this kind of habit. Well, but since we love each other, that's fine. So let's work on it. How are we going to work on it? You know, we expect good things happen. We do something good to encourage each other. Hopefully, something will change. Sometimes we stay in truth with love. And after a while, you realize it's not working. It's not working. But let me explain this. Usually when we feel that it's not working, it's not true. Usually it works. But not to what we expect. It's kind of slow. It's kind of, okay, I want you to change in this way, but you change on the other way. So it's changing, but not really satisfied what, you know, I expect. So that is the second stage called wake up stage. So awakening. Just okay, now I realize what I'm into. So this is love chemistry, humanly speaking, the second stage. And then the first stage is try to do a little bit more. We try to cut in the edge a little bit more. How are we going to cut the edge? Okay, you bump me and you hurt me. Sorry, you know, this one needs to go to get away. So we try to cut the edge. We try to help each other so that we can love one another more easily. But how are we going to do it? Different people do it differently. Some people will try, you know, harder way. Like when the wife is ironing the clothing, she tries, you know, if I can just put him down and then iron him through and then everything flat, like smoothly, that's the best. Then when he was cutting the grass or pruning the bush, and then she will feel like, just let me trim her a little bit, then everything will be okay. You know, when they start thinking they would, you know, they hurt each other slowly, and eventually they go to a point saying that, wow, what now? What now? And they realize that we have been trying for 5 years, 7 years, 10 years. But doesn't things really change as we wish? The love chemistry started with this blind love. And unfortunately, it happens only in a short while. And then people start seeing things and not prepared for this kind of love. Humanly speaking, no one can endure it. Saying that with all sorts of, you know, differences, character difference, personality difference, or habit difference, we can still just love each other happily without any complaint. Humanly speaking, it's quite difficult. So that's why some people, when they reach one point, they start thinking, am I married the wrong person? They start thinking. And then if this thinking leads you to another area, that is devotion. Devotion probably, divorce is probably the way to go. Or at least one of the options. Brothers and sisters, if we only use humanly love, we can never, never really love one another as Jesus has commanded us. We can never do it. Can never do it. Because humanly love is more conditional love. Okay, if I love you, you love me, that's fine. If I'm good to you, you are good to me, that's fine. If, you know, if I ask you to change, you change, that's fine. You know. But that's not realistic. It's almost never happened that way. According to this article, the love chemistry, what was the final session saying that? Saying that averagely 70% of the, you know, the person that the other side hopes he or she can change, 70% never change until the day the person died. So if we fight for the 70%, we will be in trouble. We'll be in trouble. That's why, brothers and sisters, we cannot love one another with our human love. When we come before the Lord, when we read the Word of God, we need to make a decision. How are we going to live our life? If I'm coming to church for worship, for some fun only, and the God's Word never touched my life, then the only choice we have, we use our own way to live our life day after day. So when we come to love one another, we have no way to go beyond this limitation. We have no way to break through, because this is human love, and this is how things happen in general way. And a lot of people didn't realize that as Christians, we need to intentionally accept God's way and live up His command. So brothers and sisters, this is very important. It's very important. There was a pastor in a church, a young, you know, sister came to the pastor and said, "Pastor, I want to get married. Can you marry us?" The pastor said, "Well, I never realized you have a boyfriend. When did you know him?" "Oh, just 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago." "Well," the pastor said, "are you sure you want to marry him?" And the girl said, "Yes, why not? We love one another." And the pastor said, "Wait a minute. Can I suggest you, I'll give you another 3 months, and you'll come back and tell me whether you want to marry him or not." Well, the girl said, "3 months make not much difference." But the pastor said, "Wait, listen. In these 3 months, you need to open your eye and see if he has any, you know, shortcoming. Anything that you don't like." I mean, it's difficult for someone with a blind love to see something. But the pastor made her, you know, do it. And after 3 months, and the girls came back to the pastor and said, "Pastor, yes, I still want to marry him." Pastor said, "Well, that's good. What have you seen?" "Yeah, I'm seeing him, you know, in some way that he's not perfect," then she explained. The pastor said, "Well, then it's time for you to get married." What the point that the pastor made here is, if we only judge things through our own humanly love perspective, the love may not last. But if we really learn how to love one another as our Lord Jesus loved us, then things will be very different. You just consider the fact that what is true love according to God's point of view. Romans chapter 5 verse 8. A lot of us, we are familiar with this verse. But God demonstrates. He shows us, demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners. Christ died for us.
When we talk about love, we need to consider about, you know, sins. We need to consider about troubles, shortcomings, you know, a lot of things that may not be ideal. But God loved us even when we were still sinners. You see, when a couple came to the pastor or the church leader saying that, can you help us because we are in trouble? We quarrel, we fight. We don't want to talk about divorce, but it's not too far, you know, in our mind. What can we help? One time a couple, an older couple, much older than me, and a couple of leaders from another church, came to my office before he arrived. He called, Pastor, can I come? I said, where are you? He said, almost at your door. Well, come in. It was heavy rain. And before they sat down, she said, I have enough. I said, well, I'm here to listen. So they start complaining, and the man just shed his head, and then he said something, and she shed her head, and so I said, wait. Do you realize that you are both sinners? I mean, this is God's word. Do you realize that He made some changes in the past few years, and you made some changes in the past few years? And they look at each other, yeah. I say, count the blessings. And then when they start counting the blessings, they look at each other and say, Pastor, can we go for lunch? I say, yes, why not? I mean, basically, what are we struggling with? We know what we need to do. We know what God expects of us. But quite often, we were tempted to go into human love and we found out there is no way to do it. And we start feeling frustrated, disappointed, say that, that's it. No more. But just come back to the Word of God. Jesus Christ died for us, loved us, even when we were still sinners. God demonstrates His love. It's not just saying. It's true. Jesus Christ died for us on the cross. What does that mean to us, Christian? So, brothers and sisters, when we love one another, we usually start choosing people like, okay, this, you know, nice people I love, you know, to hang around with him or her. But remember, we never depend on I like him or her to develop, to learn how to love one another through God's point of view. We can never do it. If we don't see that we are loving as sinners because we are sinners, we start complaining. We start losing, you know, passion. We just saying that this person is no way we can love him or her. So, brothers and sisters, the decision now this morning is when we talk about love one another, how are we going to love? Remember how Jesus loved us. Because unless we use God's love, unconditional love, we can never really love one another. You just listen to 1 John chapter 4, you know, verse 7 to 18. There's a whole lot of verses. But just look at chapter 4, verse 10, 1 John. This is love. The word of God saying, this is love. Well, do I understand what is love? Well, we realize that we understand the love, you know, more on the humanist side perspective. We don't, sometimes we tend to forget about God's love. And God says, this is love. That means the answer is here. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's why when Paul talked about real love, how many of you can memorize 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Talk about the true love. Love is the first one, patience. Second one,
kind. Third one does not envy. Fourth one does not boast. Fifth one is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. You just keep on and on and on, brothers and sisters. This is the word of God. How can you love one another? If you try saying that if those are the real meaning of love, then you try. You put love is passion and put your name in the place of love. Say, David, that is passion, let's say. And then very soon you realize that there is no way I am not 100% passion. I'm not 100% kind. That means we cannot use our own love to follow the command of what Jesus said, saying they love one another. There is no way. But if we replace love with Jesus, then we'll find out Jesus is passion. Jesus is kind. Jesus does not envy. Jesus does not boast. Then you realize that it works. And then we need to realize that we cannot depend on our own, our emotional love, our conditional love. We need to depend on the unconditional love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And how He loved us? He died for us. So when we say love one another, that means if we are willing to die for other person, if we are willing to sacrifice ourselves for other person, then you will see what will happen. The true love will come, and in return it will bless us so richly. So brothers and sisters, every time we can come before the Lord, we want to thank Him, because in our real life we are facing a lot of challenges, but Jesus is the answer. He said, I am the way. He will show us the way. Let's come before Him and let Him show us His way. And once we learn His way, our life won't be the same. Our life won't be the same. So if we start loving one another in our church, in our family, in our schools or workplace, in our society, in our country, the world won't be the same. But we need a starting point, and it is where you are and where I am. So let's pray and ask God to help us so that we intentionally follow Jesus' command and His way to learn how to love one another. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank You for the fact that You know our human love will never be enough to really love one another, even love ourselves. Well, we want to thank You because Jesus Christ, you know, You love us. You die on the cross. You demonstrate how to love one another. You sacrifice Yourself and die on the cross so that we have new life and that we can really, you know, walk on the new command that You have given us. So Lord, help us so that we will be sincere Christian. We learn how to love one another. Love our brothers and sisters. Love our parents. Love our family members. Love our friends. Love those in the past we feel they're so difficult to love. And start praying for them. And start learning how Jesus loved them. Then we are willing to love them as Jesus does. So Lord, help us this morning. May our worship be acceptable in Your sight. And may our desire will be pleasing to Your sight also. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.